Good afternoon, everybody. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live with another Pastor Brandon Live. This is indeed a broadcast that hell hates, and the more you listen and the more you know why. Amen. It's good to be back. It seems like it's been forever since I did one of these, and today I'm going to be talking about, and this might actually be a very short message. I don't know how long. It was just something just to keep in mind. Please pray for me. Please pray for the broadcast. The message I'm going to be teaching on today is called Pharisees and Tongues. And I'm going to be kind of talking about as to why they're sort of connected. And there is a connection. Okay, and so I'm going to be mentioning names of people in whom you might know that are very heavily involved with tongues and this Word of Faith movement. And we're going to be kind of talking about today as per, you know, the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? Well, the Pharisees are religious leaders. Amen. So we're going to be talking about these religious Christians that put on a show that basically, you know, do these ecstatic tongues. Now, I do want to say this. If you guys want to know more about tongues, okay, please go check out the Shekinah Glory Exposed series, which I did, and there's like four videos. I think there's like four videos of things that you can go check out. Maybe there's two. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a long time. It's been a while since I've actually did the series, but if you check out the Shekinah Glory Exposed series, I do have a couple of teachings on tongues. BC and AD, but I also talk about, you know, what tongues is not. And I kind of, actually, I believe it's four videos I did. I think it was. But please go ahead and check that out. Feel free to go and check out those videos. I think that might kind of give you a little bit more perspective of where these ecstatic tongues come from. And keep in mind that these ecstatic tongues go way, way, way back, even before Pentecost. So that should tell you that these ecstatic tongues are very occultic in nature. Amen. There's going to be probably some things that I'm going to say today that are probably going to be uncomfortable, let's put it that way, and they're probably going to ruffle some feathers. But listen, I have to teach and preach stuff like this. I have to preach the whole truth. Really quickly, I might actually get into a whole message of this, but I just really briefly this morning, okay? We have to understand what is love? What is love? What is true love? Well, true love and the most ultimate love there is for a man to lay his life down for his friends. Okay, but when you love others, okay, when you love others, okay, loving others is being able to tell the truth regardless of the circumstance. Love, if you truly loved others, and if you truly love one another as you all claim that all you so-called Christians, all you Pharisee Christians, that think that you're holier than thou. If you claim to love one another as you say you do, then you need to tell people the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. The truth is going to hurt. The truth is going to hurt, and it's going to sting. Nowadays, when you go into these mega churches, where you have all these so-called, born-again Christians, which indeed they are not born again, they are a bunch of brood vipers, and somehow, I bet you they're probably connected with the Vatican to help push in the ecumenical movement. But all these so-called Christians that say they love their neighbor, do you really love your neighbor by telling them the truth that they are sinners on their way to hell and that they need a savior, that they need to repent of their sin? Because I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you are indeed a sinner on your way to hell. And let's put something in perspective here. God does not send people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. People do. We do. We send ourselves to hell based on our decisions and based on the fact that we reject Jesus Christ and reject the Bible. Okay? God does not send people to hell. If that's true, if it really was true that God sent people to hell, that would contradict Scripture to where it says it is not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God does not send people to hell. People send themselves there because they reject the Word of God and they reject Jesus Christ. Listen, the point I'm trying to make is if you truly, truly love people, you would tell them the truth regardless of the circumstance and regardless of anything else. You would tell people the truth. Because by not telling people the truth, you are doing a disservice to your congregation. It would be better for you to tell the truth and have your congregation kind of freaked out and you comfort them with comforting words than you lie to their face and send people to hell in a handbasket. As a matter of fact, we're going to get into some scripture about how these Pharisees make their congregation two times the child of hell than they are. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is coming a... See, Brother Ryan Payton hit it on the spot and hit it right on the nail this morning. Evil days are coming. And enough is enough. We need to stop sugarcoating things and start getting truth out there. You know, one of the things that I really admire from, what's his name? I can't think of his name. What is that pastor's name? I can't think of his name. Reg Kelly. That it is. Pastor Reg Kelly. I really admire the fact that Pastor Reg Kelly will tell you things and he'll tell you it without beating around the bush. He'll tell you the truth without beating around the bush. I admire that. That's something I look up to him on that. I praise God for pastors like Reg Kelly, right? I mean, I tell you what, like, more pastors need to be that way. More pastors need to start getting more tough, start like him, telling it as it is without sugarcoating things. I'm going to tell you something. That's what Brother Ryan, I think, that's what Brother Ryan displayed this morning when he preached his message. And pastors need to start getting their head in the game, and they need to start telling people the truth, regardless if they want to hear it or not. By the way, if people don't want to hear the truth, that's on them. That's not on you. Okay, that's not on them. That's not on you. That's on them. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's not on you. That's on them. Amen. Anyways, so yeah. So what I want to say is that love is being able to tell the truth regardless of circumstance. Okay. But here's the thing. The kind of love that most churches are displaying is the compromise love. Compromise love is backwards love. Okay? If people from mega churches tell you that you need to love one another, okay? What they're really saying is that you need to compromise what you believe in so that it doesn't make the other person feel uncomfortable or condemned. That's what they're really telling you. They see, these people want you to compromise in your beliefs. That is why they say you need to love one another and be more Christ-like. Well, newsflash. Jesus Christ told it as it was. And by the way, he got mean sometimes. If you don't believe me, go read the King James Bible and read when he overturned the money changers in the temple. He got mad. And by the way, if that's not enough proof for you, why do you think, out of all people, Jesus Christ told the Pharisees that they were a bunch of vipers? Yes, that's right, sister. Righteous anger. Jesus Christ had righteous anger. And by the way, should we also not have righteous anger too? I'm going to tell you something. It said, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That's righteous indignation. In this day and age, we should not have to compromise anything to tell the truth. We need to stand on truth. Amen? There's no, when it comes to speaking truth, there should not be compromise. And that's what these megachurch people want you to do. They want you to compromise what you believe so that you don't offend anybody. Well, guess what? The truth, Jesus Christ said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. You know what a sword does? A sword divides. That's what a sword does. And you know what's being divided? Believers from non-believers. Division can be good, but division can also be bad. Why? A nation divided against itself cannot stand. Do you think this nation has love? No. Because we're so divided in this nation. I'm going to tell you something. We are falling apart. And at the same time, we've compromised in this nation. And we are starting to become a pagan nation. These churches that have compromised are becoming paganistic churches. You know why? Because they're all going back to that pagan religion called Roman Catholicism, headed up by the Antichrist of a Pope. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. He is a Antichrist. if people don't like that, tell God you don't like it. Don't tell me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. There's going to be certain areas that I'm not going to be nice in. I won't be nice in. That's right. Biblical antichrist system. Actually, a lot of our founding fathers that were born again, not saying this nation's founding fathers. I'm talking our forefathers. Our forefathers that went up against Rome or the Vatican back during the Middle Ages, they thought that the papal system could be the fulfillment to the Antichrist system. Because the papacy is really just a bunch of antichrists, is what it is. And by the way, that is what the one world religion is going to require you to do. The one world religion is going to require you to compromise your belief system. That's not love. That's backwards love. Love tells the truth. When you tell it as it is, when you don't sugarcoat things, when you tell people what they need to hear, that's love. You know why? Because you're actually trying to save. You're actually trying to save their soul. It's not you saving their soul, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you get what I mean, is that you're actually trying to extend a lifeline to them so they can be saved. Amen. Anyways, I think I've gone way too long on that. But the point the central point I want to make with that is when you truly love others, you would tell them the truth regardless. I don't care if it's stuff that people don't want to hear. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's about what you need. If you're sick, what you need is something to counteract the symptoms so you can be healed. If you're sick and you want a piece of candy or ice cream, and I say ice cream because they say you really shouldn't eat dairy because it produces more mucus. You know, if you want sugar-coated things when you're sick, that's not going to help you get better. As a matter of fact, actually, I recently learned that actually sugar actually lowers your immune system. Okay? Just because you want something doesn't mean it's going to benefit you. It's the same thing with the truth. The truth is the antidote. I don't care what you want, what your wants are. Your need is more important than your wants. You should need the Word of God. You should need Jesus Christ. I don't care about your wants. Because what people need more is the Word of God. What people need more of is Jesus Christ. What this nation needs more and needs is the truth. Not the sugar-coated candy lies. And I'm sorry if you're upset, but you have to understand that your needs are more important than your wants. A want is just something that you want. A want is not a need. Think about that. A want is not a need. Amen? Okay? A want is something you want. A need is something you need to have. A want is something you don't need to have. Okay? There's a big difference between a need and a want. And what this nation needs is the truth. Amen? We need to come back to the saving knowledge of the truth. I don't mean to get harsh on you, but the thing is, we need to have truth. Amen? Anyways, so that's kind of what I talk a little bit about love, but that's not even the message. I still got to get to that message. I still got to get to the message, and we're not there yet. Okay. Let's take a look at Drudge Report. Let's see what's going on in the news. And I really don't want to make a habit of the news, but I always like to try to see if there's anything that is worth sharing. Let's see here. What's this? What's this major announcement on Saturday? I don't know. What is that? That seems interesting. Trump plans to make major announcement on shutdown border. That's today. Anyways, I don't think there's a whole lot right now, but I mean, there's not a whole lot right now, but there's a whole lot of going on right now. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, let's get to prayer requests. And by the way, if you guys have a prayer request, please feel free to share it if you'd like to share it. Please pray for, we have a fellow sister. Please pray for her for strength. She's going through a rough time with her mother. Her mother's not doing so well, so please pray for her mother. Please pray for strength for her and encouragement for her. Please pray for a fellow brother for his family and salvation for his ex-wife and his family. Please pray for, there's another fellow sister, please pray for her father as per salvation. Please continue to keep Brother Joey in your prayers. He needs your prayers. Please continue to keep Brother Ryan in prayer. He needs prayer. We all need prayer. And he actually mentioned it on prayer this morning, and I'm glad he did. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. Amen. That's important. That's just as important as putting on the armor. Amen. So I want to challenge you guys. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Amen. So keep Brother Ryan in prayer. Keep his ministry in prayer. Please keep me in prayer. Keep the video. Please keep this video in prayer. Please pray for God's will to be done in this ministry. Please pray for strength for me as for work. Please pray. I'm thinking of maybe getting a new job, so please pray for that. What else? We have a fellow sister that wants prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We also have another sister that has a prayer request for someone else for a job and direction in life. And I think that's it. Pray for pastors like Pastor Ron and Pastor Mike and Pastor Reg Kelly. Keep them in prayer. Keep their ministry in prayers. I really like how Pastor Reg tells things as it is. He is a good preacher. I like him. He's a good preacher. He preaches it as it is, and he won't sugarcoat it. He's gonna tell you it as it is without holding back. We need more preachers like that. Amen. This nation needs more preachers like that. Amen. Let's see here. I think that's going to be it for that. So, this afternoon, we are going to be talking about Pharisees and tongues. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Matthew 23, 14. We're going to go through 14 through 15. It says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Okay? You know what? Let's pray real quick and ask God's blessing and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for just your word. Lord, please give me the words to speak, Lord, as I don't know what you want me to say or how you want me to say it. Lord, please, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Lord, please give me the words to speak as you want me to speak them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for everyone out there, and I pray, Lord, that you just take your word and that you would just convict hearts, that you would challenge hearts, that you would comfort hearts. And Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, and I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, you guys, so listen, let's start in verse 14 because I think we kind of need to kind of establish some things here, okay? It says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses." Okay, now, I once knew, I knew of a mega church. Actually, I'm not going to go there. I'm just not going to go there, okay? But here's the thing. You have all these churches that are very money hungry, and they'll do just about anything to get it. And I think a lot of times, too, when these mega churches have their eyes fixed on property, they'll do just anything. They'll do just about anything they can to get it. Even if it means that they buy out a house of a particular couple or a person and basically pay them to basically move and relocate so they can get the land. Okay? That's what devouring widows' houses is. Okay? They take houses. I mean, devouring a widow's house would be like this. A church, a mega church sees a piece of property or land he wants. Or they want. So they go and buy, they go out and they make an offer to basically kick them off the land and pay for them to move somewhere else. And then take the house and use it for whatever. Or demolish it so they can get the land. See, that's not right. Okay, but that's what devouring widows' houses would be. Okay, I'm probably not explaining that very well, so just please bear with me, okay? But here's the thing. Okay? That is wrong for anyone to devour widows' houses. That is wrong. Okay? It's not right. Now let's continue on, and it says, and for a pretense, make long prayer. Okay, and for a pretense, make long prayer. What does that mean? What does that mean? Make long prayer. Well, let me tell you what that, let me give you an example of what that means. You've got churches like, Matt Kamen. Matt Kamen is a mega church preacher who believes in tongues. And he's connected with and associated with Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and all these other false teachers. Okay? But the thing is that when you go to their churches, okay, they'll take like half an hour to 45 minutes. Well, I don't know if it's quite that long, but it seems like it's been that long. And I know this because God put me there to test me to see whether I love the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ or not, okay? But I know this church, the Living Word Christian Center in Minneapolis, okay? I know who they are because I was there, okay? These people would pray in these ecstatic tongues, thinking that they're speaking in some sort of heavenly language or some sort of language. But here's the problem. There's no interpretation of that. There's no interpretation of those tongues. They just start rattling off what they say is tongues, and they start praying, and they start praying in English. And it's like, that's not interpretation. And while all these people are praying in tongues, you got one person praying in English, there's no interpretation. And this goes on like for a while. Okay, it goes on for a while. These are long prayers. Okay, these are very long prayers. Contemplative prayer. That's where these churches are getting in themselves into contemplative prayer. And contemplative prayer is not biblical. It's not. Okay, and I mentioned unknown tongues. That's another thing about that too. Okay, that's what I was mentioning is unknown tongues. Okay. But it says, for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Okay? Let's stop right there for a second. Let's turn with me to Jeremiah. I can't speak today. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Hey, you gotta have a little fun, right? Jeremiah 23. I'm sorry, I'm just singing. You gotta have a little fun, right? Amen. Jeremiah 23, verses 30 to 32. Okay. Now, as per speaking about these unknown tongues, okay? Jeremiah 23, and I want us to read, where was that again? I just lost my... Oh, there you go. 30 verse 32. It says, Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them, that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their likeness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something, okay? When you read that passage from verse 32, where it says they cause my people to err by their lies, that's them making them too full of the child of hell than they are. Okay? That verse in verse 32, okay? Hang on a second. That's not it. That was my reading for today. Not what I just... Anyways, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Okay? That kind of seems like caused my people to err by their lies, and by their likeness, yet I've sent them not. Okay, so here's the thing. These people that make long prayer, they'll use their tongue and say, he saith. They say, oh, praise the Lord. God has a word for you. I just have to speak it. That's nonsense. I don't buy that nonsense. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe me about living word about their tongues, go to their church. Pay a visit to their church. And you find out that they will openly tell you that they speak in tongues. But what they won't tell you is the tongues that they speak is not biblical. And it's not biblical, and here's why. Because there's no interpretation. Everyone is speaking in these unknown verbiages, and it's chaos. It's just as chaos as the next The next thing, it's chaotic. Why? Because everyone's speaking at once and there's no interpreter. That violates scripture, people. Let's see here. Let one interpret. Let me show you from scripture what I'm talking about. Let one interpret. Here we go. That's what I want. What one interpret. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:27. This is where these mega churches get it wrong. Okay? See, and here's the thing. These mega churches, they'll go straight to Paul. But by their actions, they violate what he said by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Here's an example. Their unknown tongue talking. Everybody is speaking in these unknown tongues and there's no interpreter. This violates 1 Corinthians 14:27. Because let me tell you what Paul says. Okay? Paul says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Let's break that down for a second. If any man speak in an unknown tongue or a language, okay, let it be by two or by the most three, and that by course. Okay, why by two or three? Because let every word be established by the mouth of two to three witnesses. Okay, that's your witnesses. Now, what does that mean by "and that of course"? That means they need to speak one at a time in order. God is a God of order. And they have to speak one at a time and let one interpret. This is how you're supposed to do things. But churches like Living Word Christian Center, churches like Kenneth Copeland, and all these other all these Word of Faith heretics, these religious Pharisee nut jobs, they violate that scripture. Why? Because they all speak in these unknown tongues, and yet that it is discord. It's all at once. There's no interpreter, and no one is going by one, and no one is taking turns. See, it violates scripture. And it's funny. They violate scripture, and guess who they point to? They point to Paul. They go to Paul every time. They like him, but they don't like him. They don't like him because they violate what he said and wrote. And keep in mind, what he said and wrote was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So it's not like they hated Paul. They hate God. They're God haters. Why? Because they've rejected what the Bible said. Amen? They've rejected what the Bible said. Okay? Now, okay, so we see that these churches will make long prayers. And I'm in the wrong area again. Okay, so you see that these churches are making these long prayers by speaking in these tongues. Okay? But you notice that they're going to receive a greater damnation. Okay? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. If you believe the Bible this afternoon, say amen. Amen. Listen, God's good and God's word is good. But I'm going to tell you something. I got to preach stuff like this because we need to expose what's going on with these heretics. Okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Okay? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, for the wages of sin is death, okay? What is a wage? A wage is something that you do deserve. A gift is something you don't deserve. But God gives it to you because he loves you, okay? But the thing I want to focus on is the wages of sin is death. Okay? Now, hold your place there. When we go back and when we read that these Pharisees, when they devour widows' houses and make long prayer, they will receive a greater damnation. Okay? That's the wage. The greater damnation is the wage. Amen? Let's see here. Let's see here. Religion. Let me type that in for a second. Okay. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me tell you something. To devour a widow's house is contrary to what James 1:27 says. To devour a widow's house is actually afflicting a widow. And to afflict a widow is defiled religion. Why? Because a pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and their affliction. That is pure and undefiled. So that means that to devour a widow's house and to make long prayer is sin. The wages of sin is death. And the wage that these Pharisees are going to get is greater damnation. Why? Because they deserve it. We all deserve greater damnation. We all deserve hell. Can I get an amen from God's people? We do not deserve eternal life. But let me tell you something. Here's why I say that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Okay, a wage is something you deserve and you've earned. A gift is something that's undeserved. A gift is something you don't deserve. But God gives you a gift. Amen. God gives you gifts because he loves you. Okay, going back to what I said at the beginning of the broadcast, is that yes, God loves. Okay, but God also chastens and he tells the truth. You know why? Because God loves you. God loves you so much that he will tell you the truth. You know why? Because his word is truth. And sometimes the truth is not pretty to look at. And sometimes the truth hurts, but it needs to be said. Amen? The truth needs to be said. And like I said, I don't care about the wants of people. It's not about the wants. It's about the needs. And remember, wants and needs are two things. Okay? You need to give people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. But that's why these Pharisees are in big trouble with God, because they're telling people what they want to hear. I would rather you tell me what I need to hear, not want to hear. I may not like it, but God will deal with me and work with me on it. Okay? So keep that in mind. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? The greater damnation is the wage of the Pharisees. You know why? Because the Pharisees have the holier than thou attitude. Oh, look at me. I'm a Pharisee. I am holier than you because I keep all God's commandments. No, you don't. You actually reject God because you choose the commandments of man than the commandments of God. Okay? Genesis chapter 31. Genesis 31. Turn with me to Genesis 31. We're going to go all the way in the beginning. Genesis 31:8. Genesis 31:8. Sorry, I can't sing any more than I can save my own life. But I still like to make a joyful noise. Amen. Genesis 31:8. If he said, thus the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, And if he said, thus the ring strake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring strake. That thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even sure why I had that in there. You got to forgive me on that. I'm not even sure why I had that in there. I'm going to tell you something. Okay, see this? This notebook. I had this notebook for a long time. This is where I have my notes here. Pharisees and tongues. This, I did in such a long time that there's things I don't even remember. Like, I just looked at it, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. But there's just some things I just don't remember. So I apologize for that. I'm sorry. But you know, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew 6, 7. Matthew 6, 7. Please pray for me and bear with me because sometimes I don't know what to say. Matthew 6, 7. Oh! Ooh. Okay, I'm like a little candy in a can. I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is okay. Matthew 6, 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Why are all these mega churches using vain repetition? That is contemplative prayer. All these mega churches use vain repetitions. By the way, that's what the heathen do. By the way, you know why they do it? Because you know why they speak in these ecstatic tongues that don't make sense? Because they think that God's going to hear them for it. God's going to hear their prayer. Stop right there. Hang on a second. I got to type something here. Man, I'm getting on a roll today. I'm getting on a roll today. Just praise the Lord. Hang on a second. Hang on. I think it's in John. I'm sure it was in John. Oh, here we go. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Let me tell you something. God does not hear sinners. Now, let me explain to you what that means. Okay? That doesn't mean that if you know you're a sinner and you repent of your sin and get born again, okay, of course God's going to hear you. Okay? But here's what that means. Okay? When it says that we know that God heareth not sinners. Okay, if there is an intentional sinner who rejects the word of God, but they claim to be born again and they're not, and they're praying like these mega churches do. By the way, these mega churches are sinners. That's who they are. But they're Pharisees because they think that they are holier than thou. They think that they're honoring God. And these vain repetitions that they speak, they think they're going to be here. They're going to hear. Okay. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. That's what these mega churches do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Listen, if you pray in vain repetitions like the heathen do, thinking that God's going to hear you, God will not hear you. That's what that verse means. If you are a so-called religious Pharisee who goes around devouring widows' houses, making long prayer, praying in vain repetitions, praying in these unknown tongues, doing contemplative prayer, thinking God's going to hear you from through that, he is not going to hear you from it. Why? Because God doesn't listen to sinners. Now, I don't want you to take what I said and say, if God doesn't listen to sinners, does that mean I can't be born again? That's not what that means. Okay? It is not God's will for any to perish, but all come to repentance. Okay? Jesus Christ wants you to come in repentance. You need to admit that you are a sinner. Okay, God will hear you. When you repent and turn away from your sin, God will hear you. But what John chapter 9 verse 31 is talking about is that those who are not worshipers of God. Okay, these are false brethren who are not born again, who claim to be Christian, and yet they're flat out sinners and they don't recognize it because they think that they're holier than everybody else. That verse is, I believe that verse is directed at Pharisees and false brethren. Okay? But if you're lost today, let me assure you this. If you're lost today and you need to be saved, God will hear your prayer. You know why? Because He wants you to come to Him and receive His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I hope I'm not presenting that in a confusing way. Because I don't want you to think that because you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ that He won't hear your prayer. I hope you don't get that from me. Because that's not what that verse means. Because if that's what it meant, that means that that's contradicting other scripture and God does not contradict Himself. Because now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, Him he. This is talk. See, it's God is talking. He said this. Okay, but I'm just gonna let the scripture speak for itself. Okay, I'm not gonna say anymore. Okay, but you see that these people are doing vain repetitions, thinking they would be hear of God, and yet in that verse in John 9:31, God says, "No, I'm not gonna hear them." You know why? Because tongues have been done away with. If you want to go back and rewatch my videos from the Shekinah Glory Exposed video to get a refresher course of tongues, I encourage you to go do that. Please do. I want you to. Okay? So anyways, turn with me to Luke chapter 7 verse 19. Okay, am I making sense so far? While you guys are turning there, am I making sense so far? I hope that I'm not confusing you guys. I hope I'm not contradicting myself. I hope that what I'm saying makes sense, and I hope that you get it, okay? God is simple. We need to keep it simple, amen? Sometimes I have to remind myself, keep it simple, stupid, because I can be quite stupid. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Let's see here. What did I have in my notes? That's not right. Hang on a second. That can't be right. I'm sorry, I should have probably looked over some of these notes before I even went at it, so I apologize. Let's go. Luke 16. Let's try Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16. Let's see, 8 through 9. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 7. Hey, listen, I apologize. I've kind of gone everywhere today, and I apologize because I wasn't as organized as I did. I just looked at it and I'm like, wow, that'd be cool. Mark 7:9. Okay. And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." Let's actually go up a bit. Okay, let's go up to verse 5. Okay. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let me tell you something. That's what these mega church preachers do. They profess Jesus. They confess him with their mouth, but they don't possess. They don't confess. They confess with their mouths. But their confession is in vain because they're not possessors and they don't really believe. They honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Okay. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as a washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. That's what these Pharisees and mega church people do. That's what they do. They reject God, they reject his word, and they have their own traditions that they made up. And they're willing to keep those traditions they made up at the cost of rejecting God and his word. I'm going to tell you something. That's going to result in greater damnation. Amen? That's going to result in greater damnation. Turn with me to, let's see. I already read Mark 7:6 already. Okay, turn with me to John 5:23. John 5:23. We're kind of near that area, so let's go to John 5:23. That all men, it says. Let's start in verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will judge. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Let me tell you something. These Pharisees that think that they will be heard for their long prayers. They think that they honor God, but as a matter of fact, they dishonor him. And because of the fact that they don't honor Jesus Christ, they don't honor the Father. They put God into an open shame because of their traditions. The tradition, see, these Pharisees that do the traditions of man, they put God to an open shame, and they shame his name, thinking that they're doing it for God, and they're not. That's shameful. That is shameful. Okay, let's go to Matthew 15:8. Again, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let me ask you something. Does Jesus Christ have your heart? What does that mean? Does Jesus Christ live in your heart? Is your heart the throne room of God, or is it the throne room of an idol? What is it? Because if Jesus Christ has your heart, it really should be the throne room of God. And even sometimes as believers, we have idols. But let me tell you something. God knocks those idols down and he takes care of them. Why? Because God's doing it to show you that he loves you and that he's reminding you that he should come first. My question is does God have your heart today? Turn with me to Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13, and then we'll wrap up. Okay? Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13. I'm sorry, I don't know why I sing that, but I'm just having fun. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Think about what Jesus said. The Pharisees teach the commandments and precepts of men. That is what Isaiah is getting at. Let me read that again. Wherefore the Lord is, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Why do you think these hypocritical, pharisaical, two-faced, brood of viper, megachurch preachers are speaking in unknown verbiages, which you can't understand, and yet they think they are honoring God because of it? As a matter of fact, because of that practice of that false tongue, the unbiblical tongue, they're putting God's name to an open shame. That's right, it's bondage. Those people will put you in bondage by the traditions of man. The traditions of man will keep you in bondage. But these ecstatic tongues that these mega church preachers do, and there's no interpretation, it's a false tongue. And that tongue is going to put you in bondage. And they that profess Christ think that they're doing that to honor him. They're dishonoring him, and they're putting God's name into an open shame. And I'm going to tell you something. In that day, God's going to say, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It doesn't say, I once knew you and didn't know you. No, it says, He says, I never knew you. That means he doesn't have your heart. It means that you're not born again. You're not his child. You know why? Because God knows his kids. God knows his kids. Here's one I want to say. This is closing, and then I'm gonna play a hymnal to kind of get you all thinking here. Okay. Does God have your heart today? Are you born again? Are you saved by grace through faith? Have you received that free gift of eternal life? Because if not, today is the day of salvation. Do not wait. Do not wait. Tomorrow might be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can confess with your mouth all you want, but if you don't believe in your heart's far from him. Remember that. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you go before the Lord and you repent of your sin, and you repent of your sin and you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, and you ask Him to cleanse you and to wash you, and you ask the Lord into your heart and life, and you ask Him to fill you, and you ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, you'll be saved. You got to remember, when it says that God does not hear sinners, you have to remember that it's those who profess with their mouth, but their heart is far from them. It's those people that claim that they're doing a service for God and they think their long prayers, that God's going to hear their long prayers. I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to hear those prayers. You know why? Because those are Pharisee people. God is not going to hear sinners. In other words, God is not going to hear self-righteous Pharisees that think that they're doing God a service. But if you really are a lost sinner and you need a Savior, let me tell you something. God will hear you because you know that you are a sinner on your way to hell and that you are in need of a Savior. God's not complicated. God is simple. God is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus says if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And that's to ask the Lord into your heart and life. Amen. Listen, I'm going to play this hymn. Okay? Saved by the blood. You know, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. This hymn is Saved by the Blood. Okay? It's a musical. There's no lyrics. It's just music. Okay? It's 40 seconds long. I'm going to play this. And while this is playing, I want you to think about what I said. Okay? But here's the thing. I don't want you taking my word for things. I want you to take what I say and you match it with the Bible. If what I say does not match with the Bible, then let God be true and every man a liar. If I am wrong, then I pray and ask that the Lord will correct and chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. And one of these days, I will have to stand before Him and give an account to every bad or good thing I did in this body. Amen? But if I am right, then I pray and ask the Lord will show you what I'm talking about. Amen? So I'm going to play this, Saved by the Blood. I want you guys to think about it. Think about what I said. I want this. This is an invitation time, okay? I know it's gonna be short, but I want you to think about this. As this is playing for the minute, less than a minute, I want you to think about it. Amen? Let's go ahead and play. Saved by the blood today? Because if you're not saved, today's the day to get that right. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day to do it. Here's the thing. I want to challenge you guys. Don't be religious Pharisee hypocrites. Don't be hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ, He rejected the Pharisees. I don't want to use the word rejected, but He got after the Pharisees. Okay? He got after the Pharisees. I'm going to tell you something. There was a Pharisee that came to know the Lord. Saul, who then became Paul, didn't it? God used Paul in a mighty way too. Pharisees can be saved. But the thing is, it's a lot harder for a Pharisee to be saved because they are self-righteous and they're stuck up. And they think they're doing God, they think they're doing God a service, but they're not. They're hard-hearted. The Pharisees are hard-hearted. But God can, it is possible for a Pharisee to be saved. Amen. Listen, you guys, I hope you guys got something out of this. I love you guys. I'm not trying to be mean or pick on anybody, but I have to preach the truth. Amen. But anyways, listen, I love you guys. I'm not sure how things are going to go. I'm hoping things will sort of get back to normal. But you pray for me, pray for the ministry, pray for these videos, pray that God will take them and use them for his kingdom, for his honor and his glory. Amen. Listen, I love you guys. God bless you. And, I'll be signing off for today. But I love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time. See you. Bye. I love you guys.